This hour of the Trevor Carey Show is powered by Energy Concepts.
From a medical viewpoint, I would say the best thing for the students is just to go to school. And because the masks have not been useful, social distancing is a bit of nonsense. And they're a lot worse off if they're staying at home for emotional reasons, physical reasons, the whole work. So, no, they should go to school. That's all just a gimmick. It's grandstanding.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
People aren't regulated.
Would you let your kids go back to school?
I will. My kids are looking forward to it.
Yes. Period. Absolutely.
Absolutely. As much as I can.
Without a hesitation.
Without a hesitation, yes.
I have no concerns about sending my child to school in the fall.
I would let my kids go back to school.
Dr. John Torres, NBC News.
They all said yes.
Yep.
Millions of children around the world are already back at school.
Yep, not here. I tell you, Nick Papagni, Pag Meter Show. You hear it Fridays 4 to 6 on AM 1340, Fox Sports Radio, iHeart Station in the building. Good to see you again.
How you doing, Trevor?
Well, how are we all doing? It's some rough roads out there.
Trevor, I've been getting crushed for 10 months on this. I'm one of the few local sports, I'd say sport, or even any kind of media. You're with me. I've been putting up with this for 10 months, getting battled, getting beaten up, that we should have had school sports back in August like normal. And no way, you're crazy. And now it's a mess.
Well, I can guarantee you, you said you've been crushed. I think this coach next to you would crush you if you came around the backfield and he was an outside linebacker, right?
You'd have to catch me first.
Fuller coach Don Arax. Coach, good to have you in, sir.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
How long have you two known each other?
Got too long.
Yeah, wait. I mean,
who was president when you met?
It was before Carter.
Yeah.
Nixon?
Yeah.
You guys go back to Nixon?
I'm a little older, but
It would be Carter, yeah.
I was high school when he was just coming up.
Okay, so
and
you
we
guys,
both had two of the best Bullard football teams.
Yeah.
And we played with.
So you guys have thrown the ball around a lot.
We go back a long ways, yes.
We battle.
Hey, let me ask you, Coach Arax. Let's talk about the importance of sports. There's many people that just put it off to the side, like, oh, it's not as important. Okay, we say it's not as important as education. That's why athletes have to get certain grades to play. We recognize education is, but sports is so important, and it's been just yanked out of so many lives.
Well, let's put it in perspective by looking at a figure. I think 38% of the students at Bullard are involved in sports. So that's a large percent of the school. And if you extend that out district-wide or valley-wide or statewide, that's a large number of kids that have been shut down for a long time here. And we're starting in discussions with coaches. We've started this Coaches Association. Some really sad stories have come out of these conversations, and it motivated us to get mobilized and advocate for getting these kids back out on the playing field.
Now, let me ask, Pags, where are we right now? Refresh me where we are with the rules. Coach, maybe you can chime in as well. There's no practicing, right? Or for certain sports where you're kind of alone?
We have a few certain sports who've just opened up. Cross country, I believe, tennis. Right. What else?
Track and field.
And golf. And everyone else, what does that mean? Is everyone going to be coming? Means nothing right now. So I think he threw a little cherry on the cake just to get people a little excited. But these kids have been teased. Another one people don't realize with this online learning, which has been a complete disaster.
I don't even use the word anymore, online learning.
Well, I don't want to mention districts or anything, but there's one district where they think every kid will be ineligible if sports does come back. Because it's been a complete disaster. Kids have quit, given up. They're so far behind that I don't even know if they can recover. So that's another issue that, you know, we're talking sports, but the GPAs, and Donnie, you would know as well as I do, it's been damaging.
Yeah, talking to one of my colleagues a couple days ago, he said typically we'll have two or three kids that are under 2.0 and ineligible. He said he was shocked at the figure. So it's taken quite a toll on our kids, and where we're at in terms of football and basketball and some of the sports that are a little bit more contact is we have had some movement the past week, which is good. Some of our California high school coaches in the Golden State Coaches Association actually met with the governor this weekend and met with his number one guy. So there is some movement. There's some cause for optimism. But for what I do, we're quickly running out of time because basically we have to wrap up the season by May 1st.
Well, who picked up the bill at the French Laundry restaurant?
I don't know who picked that bill up.
I knew it would come up. There it is. Hey, my guest, Coach Don Araks, Bullard Football, and Nick Pagpagni of the Pagmeter Show. Gentlemen, we've had coaches teaming up right now. There are, you know, there's a lot that's roadblocking all of this, from Teachers Association to, you know, the trustees on school boards for sports to really open up. School's going to have to open up. So the parents, how many? We've heard from the coaches. Are they backed by a lot of parents? And, Coach, if you had to put a percentage on it, how many are behind you guys going, we want to support sports opening up?
Well, in fact, I was just telling Nick on the way in here, is I had several conversations with the parents of kids who play other sports that mobilized today. One thing we didn't mention is some districts are back to practicing and getting back to participation in those sports that are low impact, not close, you know, golf, tennis, but some districts still aren't back, and so we're still waiting for, in our district, approval to get back. But yeah, the parents, I mean, I see it every day with my own kid. It's like he's a two-sport athlete and 12 years old. There's just not a lot of outlets. So imagine you're locked in your bedroom, you're isolated, and we're seeing some real effects, depression. I even talked to one of my colleagues who said he had to talk a kid off the ledge of, you know, he was contemplating suicide. So these are very real consequences of something. And I would add this. Imagine your whole life is built up as an athlete, you know, to your senior year, you know, and you built up all these years and then it was snatched from you. But the worst part of it being snatched from you was you don't have a lot of people advocating for you. And that's been my difficulty in this whole issue. And that's why I love my colleagues in the football industry. We've taken a stand and you're just not seeing that a lot. There's a lot of punting going on.
Oh, in many, many avenues out there, a lot of punting going on. The process from a senior, a standout athlete at Bullard who's going to be talking to colleges and whatnot, all of that has just been eradicated. You know, wouldn't you normally send film and they would look and scout them? And you know what? That's big. That's a big investment. A lot of money that these athletes do not have to pay to get an education. And that's just been shut down. And those are the stars. You know, so many. Hey, I wasn't a star, but my baseball high school career is still so precious to me. You know, the guys we played with, you still talk to them. That's what sports does. It's more than just out on the field.
Well, the other problem is college kids get to come back if they can, if they want. They can return that grade. I'm pushing for high school right now to have the kids to have the option, not just the option, to come back, because it's been a complete disaster, and it's not their fault. There have been, and I'm going to say it, my daughter hates when I say it, my wife hates it, they've been held hostage for 10 months. Okay,
you're talking the red shirt plan to repeat a year?
I want to have the option. Unless you've already stayed back one time in your life, you're out. You can't. But why not? If these kids are still young enough to come back, why not? Because no one's looking at the science. 48 other states are playing sports. 48 other. Even New York came out. The wacky New York is playing sports over California.
Coach, what's your opinion on the redshirt plan of repeating a year?
So I like the redshirt plan. I think it's the worst case scenario. I think we try to fit in as much as we can right now. And then I think I mean, they would have to put that together in short order. Now, in order to do that, New Jersey put in a five-year plan. I don't know if you're aware of that, Nick, but they're only the caveat is you have to be enrolled in a community college or a junior college, which makes sense because you're not going to get a kid who's getting a 3.0 to come back and take high school courses. But I don't think we're quite there at that stage. But we need to have a real discussion about that. If we get to April and May and we're still in this mode, we got to have a real discussion about that. And one final thing on the college thing. You know, I have a kid on my football team that was, depending on his senior year, he was on the cusp of possibly getting a scholarship. We had one kid that already has one. There's no film on him. There's nothing out there for this poor kid. And so it's a shame. He's a 4.0 student and a heck of a football player, and no options for him right now.
So as we stand right now, football, high school football has missed one season?
No. We have not missed a season. Well, if you count the fall.
Yeah, right. This is how it started. Last spring, baseball got cut
so
after about 10
two
games.
Seasons. So we've lost pretty much two seasons of baseball, right?
Baseball still can go.
It can still go, yeah. But I live in California, and I've been paying attention, so I'm going to say baseball might could lose two. Football's lost one, though, right? Right?
Yeah, right, this last not fall. Yet. Yeah, we're trying to get it back right now. We
okay.
still got time.
But I'm just saying, on the calendar year, as yes. normal, football is lost one. Baseball could be two here. Basketball, one, right, so far.
Yeah.
Let's take some other volleyball.
Yeah, that's gone, too, right now.
One, okay, soccer?
Everything.
I know, but I'm just seeing how the seasons go. What's coming up right now? Baseball? Is soccer in the spring?
We would be in the middle of winter sports, which is basketball, soccer.
Wrestling is going on right now.
And then baseball would be starting February 1st.
And everything goes around it. Band? I mean, just so many extracurricular things that kept spirits up, that made life worth living to a lot of people in high school. Not that sports is everything, but boy, it sure is a big part.
We've shut down the world on a 99.9% survival. There has been one case in 48 states where someone has passed away on this. They might get sick. It's a flu. Flus are horrible. I get it. But no one has died on this. And we're shutting down.
We know the rate for children and teenagers. It's minuscule.
They're not even on the ranks. And that's the other thing. The PCR testing is 50 to 90% off. So in other words, if you go to the old carnival back in the days and you put a little extra syrup on there, that's what they were doing on the test. They covered everything. So if you had a cold 12 months ago, you got the virus. Now they took less syrup on your little snow cone and they're saying, oh, maybe we made a mistake on that. So
I take a little different stance than Nick, obviously, we're on that stuff. But what I will agree with him about is this is us deciding with all the social costs out there. We've got to calculate, okay, the risk of a kid getting that. In those families, they have to stay away from grandma.
There you go.
They got to stay away from them. Yeah. But the social costs are so great, okay? And as a guy who's followed most of the COVID stuff, I trust that it's real. I'm just saying the social costs are so great that we got to get these kids out there and do what we can.
I agree, and we're going to talk more. Nick Papagnia, the Pagnator Show, Bullard football coach Don Arax, my in-studio guest. We'll come back and give some advice to student-athletes, to their parents. Maybe see if there's some speakeasies where you can throw the old ball around, right, huh? We'll talk about it next.
Trevor Carey, Power Talk 96.7, AM 1400, and the iHeartRadio app. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Hopefully people will take it upon themselves to, exert that social pressure to make sure that everyone complies.
Comply. A little social pressure going on. Some coaches have gotten together and said, let them play. My in-studio guest, Nick Papagni of the Pagmeter Show, heard Fridays 4 to 6 on AM 1340, Fox Sports Radio, right down the iHeart hallways here. And Bullard coach Don Arax, football coach there. Gentlemen, thank you for this conversation. There are a lot of people out there, and we've got so many question marks going on. Now, Coach, you were talking about no film, scholarships. Normally, that's what happens with standout seniors and athletics. But I hear a lot of travel clubs, and I guess that would apply. I know a guy I used to work with in New York State. His daughter was in volleyball, and he could have probably bought four or five Jaguars over the course of high school, what he put into this volleyball travel club. And it was, great, do whatever you want to do, but it's a big business out there, isn't it?
Well, this is a little bit of the cluelessness of these kids not playing. Is travel ball has continued during the entirety of this pandemic. Okay, so if we think we're keeping kids safe, what we're actually doing is pushing kids into Arizona and to wider travels that might make COVID take over. So we haven't been very smart there. The problem with the travel thing taking off also is it's cutting out the kid who can't afford it, and because it's really expensive. In the future, as Nick was talking off air, we may have these sponsors that come up. But as a high school coach who can, who's an educator first, travel ball is kind of a bad word for guys like me. We don't want to go in that direction. And we're pushing kids, and we understand it.
Well, let me ask you, are there any football players on your team that are involved in anything like that to further their college aspirations? I know, does football have that many travel teams, or is that more of a baseball?
Right now, we have two in the Valley. I've been going to watch practice. One from, we call it the Clovis Football Club, which is Clovis, Clovis North, Clovis West, Memorial, Sanger. And then we have a team in Kingsburg with, it's Dinuba, Selma, Emmanuel. Who else am I missing? And they're all formed from Kingsburg. And
so we
they play on Saturday, and there's a bunch of teams that go to Chino Hills down south, and their spring league is going to be starting because if there's no football, spring – see, I think this is the big deal is fall, we've never had club football before. We've always had club everything else. Club football takes off. High school football is going to be like, well, you know, I'm playing club football now, and colleges know where I'm going to be going. We've got to figure out something. The one thing, Trevor, real fast is softball. There's a huge tournament in Arizona this weekend. 50 teams going to show up. 47 are from California. I just think that's unbelievable, all the money we're throwing to Arizona because we don't want to play sports.
We've seen how it's changed society with people coming into work here. The station's still chugging along, but I haven't seen faces in a long time. Coach, is that a fear of yours that you could lose some standout guys that could just say, well, I'm going to go play on a travel club?
Well, our coaches group was talking about this the other night. We're going to have to be proactive. So we're going to have to go to the CIF, which is the governing body, and say, look, we may have to start looking at doing a contact spring league in the Valley, which we've pulled away from in recent years because of concussion issues. But the reality is kids are going to go out there and play. And my concern is, and I'm not speaking to the two teams that are going on now in the Valley, but you know, you're talking about club football teams, some of which play Saturday and Sunday, which you can't do. Football's not a sport you can play Saturday and Sunday. And you've got coaches that I would not sign off having my kids play for these guys. So we've got to be proactive as coaches and start our own little spring league here as early as next year where we can have our kids scrimmage, see college coaches can come and watch them, get some film out on that to stop the what we know is inevitable.
Let me ask you, Pags. You were talking about those clubs, kind of the speakeasy clubs. Well, there were speakeasy clubs in the 20s. Now we got football clubs. Are these, how organized is this? Do you have to pay a fee to play in this?
I think each kid puts in $100. It's fantastic. They got sponsors. It's one of the best run programs I've seen. And you've seen it in softball, baseball, basketball, AAU. It's all over the place. Club sports is a big thing, and I think now since all this has happened, it's going to explode in the future, so get ready. So the kids that may be on the outskirts and want to play, there's going to be giant sponsors coming in and take care of this thing. It's going to be bigger than ever.
Now, the one thing that club sports will never be able to offer is the cheerleaders, the student body, the rallies on campus. Now, I'm hoping that saves us in that regard because representing your high school and high school football, I mean, baseball and those other sports are a little bit different. They don't get the big crowds and all that. Hopefully that's a saver.
And you know what? Okay, let me play moderator here. You have that to me seems personal oriented, like individual oriented, like I'm going to do this, get my film. You're not tying in the school cheering for them and rah, 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 Bullard's the best, you know, that whole aspect of that. That's being taken away in that.
Well, make no mistake, concept. I love high school. I'm over any club. But if there's nothing, these kids got to do something.
Right.
And
yeah,
this is
yeah.
what's crazy for me. There's sports playing every weekend and every day. California thinks kids are just sitting home playing video games. They're out playing sports right now, all over from Arizona, Nevada, Oklahoma, Utah. And the poor parents are paying for all
and
this.
And Nick, you know what our contention is? Our contention is, well, we don't want these kids in controlled environments around coaches who have studied the protocols and all that. What are they doing? Well, in a lot of cases, they're sitting in each other's bedrooms playing video games together. You've got seven kids packed in a bedroom. There's no masks or anything, okay? So what environment would you rather have these kids in? Outside with coaches that are following the rules, doing what they need to do. It just hasn't been a lot of thought put into those angles.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot to untangle, isn't it?
It's complicated.
Yeah. It's like an old woman's jewelry box with all those, you know, necklaces wound up into a ball, man. It takes forever to untangle it. Now, let me ask you this. You know, if something's going to be changed, it's you started a movement, coaches together saying let them play. Where can folks congregate behind this movement? Well, there's online, in person, or any events?
There was going to be a rally in Sacramento Friday, and now it's been moved to virtual. I think the best thing parents can do, to be honest with you, is contact their school districts and their representatives.
Your trustees, you know, in your district?
Jim Patterson, Borges, Hurtado out of Sanger. You know, contact those folks. Contact your districts, because the voices of parents really matter in this. So I think that's a really good starting point there.
And Trevor, the bottom line is, we all know, and I'm going to say it again, this has been a plandemic from day one. The election is over. We all know why this all happened. And it's things are going to start to slowly open up. It's time to move back, get the economy, get the kids back into school. Teachers union, get off your butt and let's go. We need to get you back. Kids need you more than ever.
You can hear more Friday at 4 p.m. Coach, thank you, sir. Appreciate you coming in. Pags, thank you. Appreciate you coming in.
For now, California will go back to establishing COVID protection protocols on a county-by-county basis. Governor Newsom says the rollback of stay-at-home restrictions means recreation and business can reopen. With caution, a 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew is also being lifted. Some higher traffic venues, movie theaters, gyms, amusement parks are still remaining closed.
People aren't regulated.
Trevor Carey, Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400. Trevor Carey on Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400.
Boy, those are two strong personalities right there, and they've been good friends since the Carter administration. Thanks again to PAGS of the PAG Meter Show and Bullard Coach Don Arax for coming in and giving the pulse of what's going on around here. Let's get them back. Let's let them play. And we'll see as we move ahead right here. January 5th, that's 21 days ago, 293 plus 21, 4, 9, 10, 11. We're on day 314 of the 15 days to flatten the curve. Day 314 of the 15 days to flatten the curve.
We're about to go into a dark winter. A dark winter.
Tulsi Gabbard, you remember her, congresswoman from Hawaii, white pantsuits, very attractive veteran of our armed services, probably the only Democrat that has any good faith, put a message out on Twitter, and Democrat heads probably exploded. And she states the obvious, and I think it was something that, you know, we should all agree on.
The mob that stormed the Capitol on January 6th to try to stop Congress from carrying out its constitutional responsibilities were behaving like domestic enemies of our country. But let's be clear. The John Brennans, Adam Schiffs, and the oligarchs in big tech who are trying to undermine our constitutionally protected rights and turn our country into a police state with KGB-style surveillance are also domestic enemies, and much more powerful and therefore dangerous than the mob that stormed the Capitol. Now, John Brennan said,
"So I know looking forward that the members of the Biden team who have been nominated or have been appointed are now moving in laser-like fashion to try to uncover as much as they can about what looks very similar to insurgency movements that we've seen overseas, mm-hmm. where they germinate in different parts of a country and they gain strength, and it brings together an unholy alliance frequently of religious extremists, authoritarians, fascists, bigots, racists, nativists, even libertarians."
Now, President Biden, I call upon you and all members of Congress from both parties to denounce these efforts by the likes of Brennan and others to take away our civil liberties that are endowed to us by our Creator and guaranteed in our Constitution. If you don't stand up to these people now, then our country will be in great peril.
Tulsi, come on over to the right side. You heard Brennan. I played you that audio a few days ago. You know, grouping in religious and libertarian with bigots and racists. You know, you just blur it all together, and pretty soon everybody will just be believing it. Thank you, Tulsi Gabbard, for standing up. She even called her former fellow congressman, Adam Schiff of California. Oh, I just hate that name. A domestic enemy. And guys, this is... This is not former Congressman Ron Paul saying this. This is a Democrat representative who is still actually honest enough to see the dangers that are coming from the Democrats, a threat to our democracy. She sees it happening. The government surveillance system. She actually compared the alliance of government with big tech to turning the U.S. into the KGB-style police state. See? Yes, I agree, Tulsi. I've been calling it the East German Stasi secret police. The Stasi, the East Germans, man, they were some of the cruelest. But what she said right there, that's obvious to anybody who's paying attention. They used the riot at the Capitol to as an excuse to now spy on religious and libertarians. Get that little Chinese social credit style system going where if you believe certain things, you can't hold a certain job. You can't be on a certain social media site. You can't be in a certain National Guard. The hypocrisy just, I mean, it can't stop. You got White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. She's not going to be around long. Little Annie Oakley's not going to last long. She didn't wear a mask while fielding questions from reporters, right? Hey, didn't your boss have an executive order requiring a mask on federal property? She's up at the podium, no mask on. Come on. If you're going to do your science-led public health briefings, which are going to begin tomorrow, oh, we got that to look forward to or not watch. They're going to occur three times a week. They're going to trape out the face mask Fauci, who said back in March, wear a face mask? That's silly. And they're going to have members of the coronavirus response team. She retired. Remember Dr. Scarf, the Scarf Lady Burks? Dr. Birx, with her scar, I wonder if she'll be out there. See, Dr. Fauci didn't wear a mask while speaking at the White House, but told Americans we should all absolutely be wearing a mask. They know this is all politics, and they don't even care a little bit that we know it. Last week, the New York Times put an article supported double masking. Wearing two masks at the same time. Yeah. Here's what they said. Double masking is a sensible and easy way to lower your risk, especially if circumstances require you to spend more time around others, like in a taxi, on a train, on a plane, or at an inauguration. Dr. Fauci, who said face masks were silly, suddenly has some new science that's come out during the last 300. What did I say? 300 and how many days? 12? 14 days? New science, I guess, has come out. Dr. Fauci said on the Today Show, it just makes common sense to wear two masks. Two layers would be more effective. He said that's the reason why you see people either double masking or doing a version of an N95. Oh, we can now make homemade versions of these masks that cost extra? Do tell. They have no way to do this. But, you know, his travel ban, as we know, Joe Biden's travel ban, this new Annie Oakley press secretary struggled to try and explain why Joe Biden's latest ban, he did a travel ban on South Africa. Yes, Nelson Mandela, South Africa, a travel ban. And I guess that's not xenophobic because that's how Biden, when he was a candidate, described President Trump's ban on China last year. Hysterical xenophobia, fear mongering. Oh, he had it all. Let's listen.
This is no time for Donald Trump's record of hysterical xenophobia, and fear-mongering to lead the way instead of science.
Okay, that was back when President Trump said, we're not going to have people flying in from China and Wuhan, and we don't want the China virus to get here as much. And the Democrats called it xenophobic. That's how clued in he was. It's xenophobic. But a travel ban on South Africa, that's not either. And keep in mind when you hear her say here, this is the new press secretary, Psaki, there was no Muslim ban. We already know that because other Muslim countries were allowed to fly into the United States. So they've lied about that as well. So that lie's included in this rambling.
When President Trump was imposing travel restrictions in March, specifically on China, then candidate Biden called it xenophobic and fear-mongering. So Now President Biden is putting travel restrictions on people coming in from other countries. What word do we use to describe that?
Well, I don't think that's quite a fair articulation. The president has been clear that he felt the Muslim ban was xenophobic. He overturned the Muslim.
No, that's not what he was talking about. That was Peter Doocy of Fox News, who's asking some tough questions. I'm glad he is. But no, CSC switched it to the Muslim ban. It had nothing to do with that. This was a travel ban coming in from China, where the virus originated. But go ahead, Annie Oakley.
Muslim ban. He also, though, has supported, and he himself, even before, or we did, I should say, even before he was inaugurated, steps travel restrictions in order to keep the American people safe, to ensure that we are getting the pandemic under control. That's been part of his policy. But he was critical of the former president for having a policy that was not more comprehensive than travel restrictions. And he conveyed at the time, and more recently, the importance of having a multifaceted approach, mask wearing, vaccine distribution, funding in order to get 100 million shots in the arms of Americans in the first 100.
Mask, vaccine, really, that's his new plan? Part of his policy, she said. He has a policy. Hey there, Secretary, Press Secretary Psaki. He already told us that there's nothing we can do. Is that his policy?
If we fail to act, there will be a wave of evictions and foreclosures in the coming months as this pandemic rages on. Because there's nothing we can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic in the next several months.
Nothing we can do. That's his policy. But let's go back to the campaign.
If the president had done his job, from the beginning, all the people would still be alive. All the people, I'm not making this up, just look at the data. Look at the data. And as then, we're now being told, there's going to be no, I pray to God there's a vaccine tomorrow that could be available to everyone.
Yeah, President Trump did that there, old JB.
The only genuine relief from the COVID lockdowns is to end the COVID lockdowns. Why is it so hard for some people to understand that?
I don't know, Congressman McClintock. It seems pretty simple, does it not? Remember the Wicked Witch of the North, Governor Gretchen up there in Michigan? She is defending her little trip that she took to JB's inauguration and said, quote, ready? Here's what she said. Can't stand people that have one rule for others and a different one for themselves. I mean, if the words, the audacity, ever fit a situation better, here's why it's acceptable for her to go to the inauguration. She attended the event weeks early, telling people in Michigan, all the families, do not travel. Don't see your loved ones at Christmas. Here's a Governor Gretchen quote. Anyone who would have watched would have seen that we were spaced out, we were outside, and we were masked up. Also, you have the ability to be a responsible adult, but no one else does. She says, so that is how we can live and enjoy some important aspects to life and stay safe. I've been following the same directives I've asked everyone else to. I can't stand those people that have one rules for others and a different one for themselves. Literally in response to a question of, why did the rules not apply to you? That's her response. Again, they don't even care, even a little bit, that we know this lockdown is pure politics. Remember in May, her husband, Marky, take our boat out. Yeah, she had locked down that industry, going out to a boat on a lake, but the hubby tried to get his boat in the water and got caught doing that. She actually claimed her appearance in D.C. that was necessary. Why? Well, she said she had to foster a close relationship with the Biden White House. And she said, quote, this was something it was an honor to be at, and I followed all the protocols, and I encourage people to do so as well. Governor Gretchen Whitmer. You know what, Governor? It sure would have been an honor for Michiganders to, I guess, be at their loved ones' funerals, maybe. That would have been an honor, or a wedding or a graduation. No, you shut all that down. But this was something that it was an honor to be at. They won't stop, will they? Most vaccines, 94 to 96% effective, somewhere in the 95% range right there. Clinical trials have showed, and I said, if you have a 95 to 99, fill in the rest of it, percent chance of survival if you really got sick from COVID. Why would you want to inject your body with foreign cells that have that kind of rate of efficiency, right? That's even less. Well, it looks like the drug maker Merck agrees with me. So pound sand, Dr. Miguel Arias.
Trevor Carey, Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400.
Agent Squires did a little researching on the new press secretary, Jen Psaki. She's, of course, a member of the Democratic Party. She served in the Obama administration, spokesperson for the United States Department of State from 13 to 15, and as White House communications director from 15 to 17, and a political contributor for CNN. You know, I saw her face and I thought, oh, I'm just thinking of Annie Oakley, but maybe I have seen her on CNN. It could have been. She's been on there. Big commie. Big commie. Hey, we got a lot of rain coming our way. They at the office of they do say could be over the next few days, 3 inches of rain in the valley. Now, you know what that means up on the scarred foothills and mountains where the Creek Fire was, that landslides. So they're talking possible evacuations. Again, the word possible. Don't spread the fake news out there.
Noticias falsas.
Yeah, don't call your Russian friend.
Поддельные новости.
This right now is possible. A lot of rain, and it could. We're going to have Fresno County PIO Tony Boddy on tomorrow to discuss what it, and let's hope by tomorrow afternoon they're not doing evacuations, but they could be. So we'll be talking about it. Road conditions right now. The Grapevine, they've got certain lanes open each direction. Last check, also 58 to Hatchby. There were some, I think they're moving cars through. Just not a time to travel, though, right now. But as we've seen now, suddenly science has discovered that a fetus is another live, viable human inside the, it's my body, my choice, right? All those scientific circles Democrats run in, the it's my body, my choice. Well, the World Health Organization has issued new guidance on the Moderna COVID vaccine, including advice that pregnant women should not get the jab unless they're at a high risk of exposure. Look at them admitting that there's somebody else in there. They're advising that pregnant women should not take the shot unless their health workers are particularly at a high risk of exposure. The latest guidance, though, from the Public Health England. See, there's all, who do you believe? It supports the position that the early COVID vaccine does not contain organisms that can multiply in the body, so they cannot infect a they call it an unborn baby in the womb. Public Health of England does. So we know the difference is when it's wanted, we protect it because it's an unborn baby in the womb. But when it's not wanted, it's just a glob of, you know, fetal cells and tissue is all it is. On the subject of vaccinations, the vaccine manufacturer Merck has abandoned development of two coronavirus vaccines. They said, after extensive research, you know, we forgot what that is. That's called data, right? Science. They do this. It was concluded that the vaccine shot offered less protection than just contracting the virus itself and developing antibodies. The company announced that the shots were well tolerated by test patients. However, they generated an inferior immune system response in comparison with natural infection. I think this could give some people some information. I don't know. I'm just giving you the information that I find from people that are way smarter than most of the people listening, and definitely myself. But I've learned more about it in this last 314 days than I did all the other years combined by listening and getting different opinions. Now, this is a vaccine manufacturer, Merck. They stated they're going to focus on research into therapeutic drugs. The drug they're going to create, they said it's going to aim to protect us from the damage of an overactive immune response to the virus. They said interim results from a phase three study show a greater than 50% reduction in the risk of death or respiratory failure if you're in the hospital with COVID, if you have moderate to severe COVID. They're stating this drug's called the MK7110 drug. They'll come up with a new name for this. So they're switching in midstream to not a vaccine, but a drug that will help a 50% reduction in the risk of death. They're going to get about $356 million from the U.S. government to fast-track production of these treatments under Operation Warp Speed. So they say it's more effective to get the virus and recover, so they've scrapped their vaccine. Now, that doesn't mean I'm saying don't get the vaccine. It's a personal choice right now. Just wait. I'm reading here, German scientists have claimed that the UK Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine is less than 8% effective in over 65s. That's kind of staggering. German media published claims alleging that it had been confirmed by multiple unnamed senior German government sources. They're stating. So the effective rate in clinical trials here in the United States, they said we're about 95% effective rate. So if your odds are, if you're under 50 years of age and do not have multiple 2.6 comorbidities, your chance of dying from this is 99.5% of not dying from it. So you got to factor it. You got to put it on the old teeter-totter. See which way that it does go. If I were over a certain age with certain comorbidities, I would say I would probably take it. But that's me saying that on the other side of not being at that age with that situation that I'm looking at the moment. So, hey, it's a personal choice. Americans, we have freedom, right? we have freedom, right? Right. I'm just going to remind everybody that voted Democrat and for Joe Biden that back in January of this time last year, when President Trump was putting in the ban on people flying in from China.
This is no time for Donald Trump's record of hysterical xenophobia to fear mongering to lead the way instead of science.
Science. Joe Biden is now there and he's using the science. What's he going to do about it? Listen to everything that he's going to do about this pandemic, because he told us he had a plan during the election.
If we fail to act, there will be a wave of evictions and foreclosures in the coming months.
We know that. We are very much aware of that.
As this pandemic rages on, because there's nothing we can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic in the next several months.
Nothing we can do. That's his plan. Isn't that great? It's almost like magic, isn't it? Lockdowns are ending all over America just days after Biden's inauguration. But boy, things are getting heated in grocery stores and convenience stores and retail. We're talking about the mask wars of 2021. Actually, an officer in Texas pulled out his taser, was ready to tase a guy that didn't have a mask on. I'll tell you that and more next right here.